Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Gospel reading for today is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30, and can be found on page 3 of your worship bulletin. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Can't say that it made a great impact on my life, but it made enough of an impact that I still remember a lot of it, though I haven't seen it in probably 30 years at least. At least 20 years, let's put it that way. The dwarfs walking along singing their hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. And how that's changed over the years, because nowadays we sing it more like that recognizable song, I-O, so off to work I go, right? Maybe if we all had a diamond mine like those dwarfs had, it would be a little bit different, but we don't. So it's off to work for the rest of everyone as we recognize that there are some times when our jobs or our vocations are things that are enjoyable. And there are sometimes when they're not so enjoyable, but we muddle through and we get through because we know this is what we have to do. And God is there to help us to continue on, even when there are those times that it's not such a pleasant experience that we are going through. Time magazine noted back in the 60s that there was an expert testimony that was given to a Senate subcommittee on time management. Back in the 60s, they predicted that because of the advances in technology that we would experience over the next 20 years, that the average American's work week would be reduced to 22 hours a week within that 20 years. The great challenge, as they called it, was figuring out what people would do with all their extra time. Yeah, 50 years later now, didn't work out so much, did it? I remember they labeled these things time-saving devices. The dishwashing machine, a time-saving device. What were you going to do with all your time now that you had this dishwashing machine that was an automatic thing? You remember before they had the built-ins, you had the rollaways, you usually had the butcher board block top, that's the kind we had, you know. It, just great, you know, you're chopping your chicken here and washing it out in there, I guess, you know. But, you know, and then you go over and you hook the hoses up to the faucet and hope that they stay and didn't blow off and spray water everywhere. Time-saving device, the microwave. I remember the first time I ever saw a microwave. It was at Leonard's Department Store, which became Dillard's at Northeast Mall. The microwave made a cupcake that I got to eat in 5 seconds. I was sold. You can make a cupcake in 5 seconds. I want 10. You know, this is worth investing in. All the time that it's going to save. You know, I don't know what the recipe was for that cupcake, but it's never seemed to work since then. So I don't. Some kind of gimmick went on there, I'm not so sure. You know, the washing machine was a time-saving device. The automatic dryer was a time-saving device. What have we done with all the time that we saved? What are you doing with all that free time? You know, that just did not play out. The experts seemed to be a little bit wrong in their prediction. I asked some different people last week as we were going into a holiday week with 4th of July. So what are you going to do with the holiday this week? And the most popular answer I got was the equivalent of, Nothing. I'm going to rest. Just need a day of rest. Need a day off, working all the time, on the go all the time. I just need a day of rest. Now, some of us chose to not quite get that and try and go to a ball game that was even more interesting the way those things worked out. But you got to join us when we do these ball game trips. You never know what kind of adventures are on the way. Really are. But rest. Just rest. Do nothing. That was the most popular thing because there's so many of us that are dealing with being overworked, overtired, just too many things on our plate, too many things on our lists, and we're not getting them done. In the scripture, Jesus tells us today about the true rest that we can experience. Because as Jesus calls to us, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens," or as some will say, "weak and heavy laden," as you may have learned that, "and I will give you rest." The rest that we are to receive is not the common rest that we may think of. I have a pillow that I brought up for a children's message today. It's just a small little pillow. It's actually one of those that they used to give you on the airplanes and then throw them away. So this is one that I kept before they threw it away, and I've had it for years still. Now they don't let you keep those things anymore, but you're lucky if you can keep the peanuts after they hand them to you nowadays. It's a lot different. Everything is different. People are working harder. They're working longer. The hours are increasing, not decreasing. More is expected. And yet, even in that time of expecting more, the recognition that people need rest is just even more and more put on the back burner and ignored as we do more and we labor longer and harder and just continue to, as that old Energizer bunny was, going and going and going, are we? "Come to me, all you who are weak and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." And then, the words, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Even in the rest that we receive, we're not told we're going to stop doing the work. There is a yoke that is placed. And you think of the yoke that is mounted on, whether it's the horses, the mules, the oxen, the cows, that pulls the cart, the wagon, the plow, whatever it is that is being pulled. That yoke is there so that you can tie them up to the implement of destruction or service that you need to get the job done. There's still work that's taking place. But he does say, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle." And he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." If that's the case, what kind of work is Jesus really talking about? The yoke being easy and the burden light? Because as we go through this life, it doesn't seem like the task of the work that lays before us, the jobs that we do, and the, if you will, the even the day in and day out mundane activities that we are a part of, really don't necessarily seem easy and light. There was a wood chopping contest at one point where there were two big burly guys that were involved in this. And as they said go, they had 3 hours to chop all the wood that they could. 3 hours of yielding an axe. Let me tell you, if you haven't done so in a while, 20 minutes will wear you out. But 3 hours they had. And one man was kind of like, it was almost like a tortoise and the hare type thing in a sense, but not quite, because one man didn't take any breaks. He just chopped and chopped and chopped and chopped and chopped until the blisters on his hands were not going to go away. He had blisters on his blisters, as the Beatles song used to say. And he worked. And he worked and he worked. And yet the other fellow, he chopped just as hard, but he took breaks now and then and sat down and rested now and then. And at the end of the contest, the one who won, it was a surprise to most because it was the fellow who took the breaks that actually had won. And when asked, how is it that with all those breaks you were able to chop more wood when I worked throughout the entire time, the man said, well, what you didn't seem to notice that while I was resting, I was sharpening my blade. He's still working. He was just thinking a little bit better in his work, approaching the task a little wiser and able to cut more because of the sharpened blade. Rest comes to us in different ways. And sometimes even in our rest, we're still doing tasks that need to be done. The rest that we commonly think of when we think of rest is just the bodily, physical rest that we seem to be in need of so much that calls for the nap, or just to shut your eyes, or just to sit down for 10 minutes and take a break before we get back up and go at it again. But there's another kind of rest here that we need to keep in mind. What we really need to give a rest to is the perception and the perspectives that what we're doing is accomplishing our salvation. That what we're doing is earning our way to heaven. That what we're doing is greater than what others are doing. That what we're about has some great importance far beyond what others are about. And that we're going to be honored more, loved more, blessed more, receive a higher place in heaven. What we need to do is give that idea rest. Because the great equalizer is Jesus. And whether we accomplish chopping 10 cords of wood or 2 cords of wood throughout this life, if you will, it's what Jesus has done for us that earns us the salvation that we are in need of, that earns us the peace that we are in need of, that earns us the rest that we will truly long for. But what we do is important. However, it's a matter of what we do, not just where we are or what we claim to be. Think of the Christian in the pew. And far too often there are people that will go to church out of responsibility, out of an idea of this is something I am supposed to do, without their hearts being in it, without a love, a genuine love for Christ and a desire for that forgiveness of sins. Not everyone who sits in the pew is truly a Christian. Just like if I were to walk into the shop where the mechanic is working on my truck and somebody were to see me with a wrench in my hand in the shop, you can't jump to the automatic conclusion that I must be a mechanic just because of where I'm standing. It doesn't work that way. And if we're pretending to be someone that we're not, then we're a hypocrite. And that's true for church membership as well. Just because we're in a building doesn't mean we're Christians. What do we do, though, with our life? We are called to give the idea of rest that we're earning our way, that what we're doing is better than others, that how we give or how we support or how we lead is something that is going to earn us something more over others. But we don't give a rest to our actual tasks and planning and plotting and working through things. We need to continue to sharpen our axes even in our times of rest. There are a lot of folks here this morning, I'll bet, that are tired. You're tired from your busy schedule. You're tired from the weeks that are past. You're tired of planning and not knowing what is going to happen next, but planning nonetheless. You're tired because of an illness that you're dealing with, or someone that you love is dealing with an illness, and it wears you out. You've got heavy hearts. You've got burdens that are weighing you down. You're dealing with distractions. You're dealing with just being weary. And we need rest. What we need is not just a physical rest, though. We need a spiritual rest. And only Jesus is able to supply that for us. Only through a faith in Christ are we able to find that. Our bodies need rest indeed, but our spirits need rest as well as we look to the Lord to provide for us. There's a story of Philip Melanchthon, who is Martin Luther's right-hand man, who actually penned most of the Book of Concord under Martin Luther's direction, but Philip Melanchthon was the scribe, if you will. And he said at one time to Martin Luther, today we will ponder the purpose and the governance of the universe. And Martin Luther said to him, no, today we will ponder fishing and leave the governance of the universe to God. There are things that we can tackle and things that are not ours. We need to know the difference as well. Jesus doesn't come to just offer us rest for the body, but rest for the soul. And sometimes we need to leave the things of God to God and go about the daily things around us instead. We need to give it a rest and understand that it's not a matter of what we do, it's a matter of what God does. I like the old story of the Irishman that was laying beside the side of the road when the American tourists went by traveling across the country one time in Ireland, and they see this man, middle of the week, middle of the day, and they pull over and stop, and they first of all ask him for directions, but then the uppity and righteous American man says to him, he says, so tell me, why is it that you're just out here in the middle of the day, in the middle of the week, laying around and not working? He says, well, what would I be wanting to do that for? He says, you need a job. And what would I need a job for? He says, you need a job so that you can work and earn a living. And what would I do with this job and the living I earn? He says, well, you'd save up your money so that when you retire, you'd be able to kick back and rest. He says, but I'm resting now. You know, it's hard to argue with logic sometimes, isn't it? I'm resting now. There's another story of an exploring party in Africa that employed a lot of men to carry their bags and their belongings and their tents. This was many, many years ago. And the group went on and on and on, and they're marching on through this area for days and days and days, when finally the natives, who had an element of superstition in them at that point, just all sat down and wouldn't get up for anything. And as the folks that are on this journey are trying to engage them and get them up and tell them, we've got to keep moving, we need to keep going, we have to keep up or we're not going to get to where we need to be. They were told by the natives, they said, we're waiting for our souls to catch up with our bodies. A lot of Christians perhaps run away from God in their hurry and their rush of worldly things and need to stop and let their spirits catch up, if you will. Sometimes we get ahead of where we need to be and our spirits are weakened. And they need to be strengthened along the task and along the way as well. For you and I as Christians, sometimes we need to stop and assess our situation. And not just go and do and go and do and go and do, but remember what Jesus has done and allow our spirits the opportunity to rest in his salvation. To be the children God calls us to be. Even in that time, we might be sharpening axes, but the labor is less. And as Jesus said, the yoke is easy, the burden is light. Doesn't mean it goes away, but sometimes we need to sit back and assess and plan for what's next. And let God handle the governance of the universe. Whether it's giving our bodies a rest, if needed, or giving our spirits a rest if needed. True rest is found in Christ, my Savior and yours. And that's a rest that can't be replaced by anything else that this world has to offer.